Hey, that's just dads who try, dog. That's just dads who try. Team no sleep, baby. Dads who try.
All right, hey, welcome back to another episode of Dads Who Try.
Yeah, why are we called Dads Who Try, Nate?
Because we don't always succeed, but we will always try.
And that is what matters most.
That is what matters most. Tommy, this is episode number 31.
And episode 31, we have a special guest with us, ladies and gentlemen.
This is a returning guest.
Yes.
When his first episode aired, It quickly became the most listened to episode ever.
Yeah. Most popular, I would say.
Since then, he's been passed up. But I think this time around, he's going to take the crown back.
Yeah, he's ready to intervene. I can tell he's very eager to spit some knowledge this evening.
Before we announce who it is, I just want to say this. Thank you, everyone, for reviewing. We've had a ton of reviews come in recently.
Yeah.
And thank you for reviewing. It helps us out so much on the algorithm. If you could drop a review, drop a share. And that would help us out. But let's get down into it.
Yeah, let's get down to business, man.
Speaking of business, man, as Jay-Z would say, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. And that's what I would use to describe our guest today. None other than
Zach Franklin.
Sup, guys? before we get into things, who surpassed my episode? And approximately what's the timestamp, like the date it was published, please? Because you never told
me. You're not going to like this.
I'll like it. I can take it.
Mark Johnson passed you up.
Not surprised.
And then Shane Lance passed you up.
Also not surprised.
But here we are.
They're great men.
They are great men. You are the more senior of fathers in the sense that your children, you've been a father longer. You know, Malcolm Gladwell says, if you do something for 10,000 hours, you're an expert. And so just looking at you, you're like an expert of experts just by the 10,000 hour rule. You've been a father for tens of thousands of hours, hundreds of thousands of hours.
Yeah.
Would you find that to be true in this case with your experience with your boys? Do you feel like you're the expert already or no?
No. I think, absolutely not, especially in the context of time. Things change over time.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really difficult to master a person, given that people are always under some sort of construction or development or whatever the smart way to say that is. But, I think you're always constantly learning the other person in any relationship. You're always kind of, you have to stay observant. You have to stay engaged. Because I think quickly you find maybe what worked or what interests somebody in one season.
It's always weird to me when people, claim to be experts in fatherhood, experts in this, when you try to standardize the human experience, it automatically becomes a red flag for me.
Right.
Like there's history and there's data and statistics, and there's always going to be outliers. And within those statistics, there's such a crazy range of variability that it's like, really, maybe you're an expert in data, but like I'm just not convinced you can standardize a human experience.
Yeah, like for example, as you're saying that, I'm kind of thinking about the boys. Having two boys now, I remember our first run with our oldest. He was so easy, and so it made me feel like I was crushing it. And then as soon as you have one that's completely opposite and he smacks you in the face, well, guess what? So I think with each, as far as parenthood goes, with our boys, I feel like you can't determine that you're an expert. You can have great experiences and life lessons, I think, but I think until they're just too, humans are so different.
Right. Yeah.
So you can't put a stamp on it and be like, I figured it all out. I have the answers to all mysteries.
You know what does have the answer for all mysteries?
Mm.
ChatGPT.
Yeah.
You know what this is?
I don't know about that.
You don't know what ChatGPT is?
No.
It's the end of history class, or of English class.
No, it's basically an AI engine that has indexed information. And so you can type in any question, any prompt, and it'll produce an answer.
And it'll produce an answer. You can ask it the same prompt multiple times. It'll produce the same answer in different ways.
But so you realize, though, it's pre-indexed information. Meaning?
Yeah, it's uploaded information onto servers.
Right.
So you can, it's limited. It's not connected to the internet.
But I feel like that was like that that website where you, it was called like Ask.
Ask Jeeves?
Ask Jeeves, yes.
It's very different. No. Very different.
Look, I typed in, I was having some issues out. We were coding a website. Mm. And so I said, create a parallax code for Squarespace and give me step-by-step instructions. And in 30 seconds, it spit out the code, told me exactly where to put it.
Right.
And, I asked for it to give me our Christmas Eve, or our staff Christmas dinner with our creative team. I said, give me a five-course, under $50 meal, five dishes under $50 with a cocktail in a chart with a recipe. And it spit it out.
Amazing.
It's wild. Whoa. I asked it to do a 5,000 word research paper.
You use this a lot.
I honestly, for captions and things, I use it all the time for social media.
Didn't you? You told me the other day that you used it the last time you preached. You said, "Give me a sermon," and it did.
Look, I'm going to be honest. It's true.
But that's the line, right? I was reading an article, and someone used it to write a fiction, like a story or a poem. And submitted that story or poem to like a writing contest.
Yeah.
Oh, and they still won. Lost. No, oh, they lost. Yeah.
Stop.
No.
But did it get exposed? Like, did people?
No. I mean, it's authentic. It's like Nate said, like it'll give you a unique prompt.
Yeah. So like I follow this guy on TikTok, and he goes, I have no experience creating apps or developing apps. He said, this is part one of creating an app with GPT. And what was it? In 48 hours, he had a fully developed and published app on the App Store that looked and functioned exactly how he wanted it to, just because he typed in the prompts and it just told him exactly what to do.
Then you add automation to that. Some pretty fun stuff and pretty, I would say, like saves you a lot of time like on things. But if you add, once you add or apply automation to it, it's pretty sick because it's going to, you're basically telling it how to respond to a given response. So think about, it's like a chat bot on steroids.
Yeah. So like this is, I would tell it to say, act as an engineering professor and explain this theory as if you're explaining it to a child, and it would spit out quantum theory in a way that's understandable. I've just been obsessed with it.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. I think it's a time saver. It's almost to me it's like Google for the modern era.
Yeah, well, Google's been taking a big hit because people type in Google, how do you do this?
Right.
People type in a GPT, do this.
Right.
And so Google's been taking a hit, but apparently they've been developing something similar, except theirs is hooked up to the Google engine. So we're having ChatGPT do text only responses.
Right.
Imagine going like, hey Google, create a 3D rendering for ... and it just spits it out for you.
And I believe Microsoft just dumped a bunch of money into ChatGPT, I believe.
Yeah, and now you
rivals, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. It's fascinating. Now it costs some money if you want unlimited.
Right. I'm on the waiting list right now for like a whatever power user, because they like closed it. But yeah, we'll see. Jasper AI is another like version of it I've been messing around with.
I've been hearing about that one.
Yeah, it's true.
DALL-E 2, which is the one, it's like if all your NFL teams were villains, and it's like shows all the NFL teams, and the Seahawks is like this crazy. But it's DALL-E 2 is the same thing as ChatGPT, but with images. So people are typing in ChatGPT, prompts, and then throwing it into DALL-E 2 to create exactly.
I feel like Tommy's looking at us like, this is really boring.
Well, okay, I say all that to say, because
yeah,
Sorry, let me go full circle. Right now, school is so standardized that, like, okay, I say that.
Not what's my his kid's name? School.
What's his name?
Teddy comes home. Hey, Dad, guess what I learned today? What, Teddy? Learn how to pole dance.
That's a different standard.
Yeah.
Where'd you learn that, PE?
Yeah, so I go to pick him up one day. He's like, watch this, and he was twirling.
Last time I did pole dancing, I hooked up my Apple Watch, and it was like 650 calories in like half an hour, bro. I swear.
That's why your hands are calloused.
Look, remember Cliff Notes? Like, we thought, like, dude, we didn't have to read books.
Oh, yeah,
Spark Notes, Cliff Notes. We could just go and do that. Now, though, what I'm saying is, like, our kids are, they have all these tools to go into school and not learn if they don't want to.
Right.
Unless the curriculum shifts in a way that it utilizes these new technologies. And, I mean, I think we were literally just talking about this before the podcast, but we took advantage of all of the poor curriculums that were given to us. And by take advantage, I mean, we did everything we could to get good grades without actually doing the work.
Right.
Right. Know? Guilty.
And that's going to continue to go with our kids. And it just goes to show, like, what value do you take from school, and what do you want your kids to take from school? Your kids are already, I mean, Miles is going to be in junior high in, what, 2 years?
No, next year.
Next
middle year. Schools. Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah. Middle year. School. Yeah. Yeah.
Next I think year. So much of it's form over function or function over form. Right.
Explain.
I think, for example, if you go to, I mean, even in middle school and like secondary school, like high school, you're going to have to, you're forced to take classes that may have a function, or sorry, that may have like a format within the high school, but no function in real life.
Yeah. Okay.
Damn. Like, for example, astrology may not apply to everyone's life.
Or there might astronomy?
Not be a function. Astronomy. Yeah. What did I say? Astrology. Sorry. Yeah.
That applies to everyone, Zach.
Sorry. Yes. My bad. Astronomy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or sign language, like just stuff like that, where it's like you may not ever use it, but it's that's where I think it becomes interesting a little bit, because I think it kind of creates some of those classes that are an afterthought, or you know, even on the more dangerous side, like it takes us away from adversity more and more when it comes to like cognitive development or critical thinking, because it's producing the answer versus us having our brain actually exercise. It's like a calculator, using a calculator for math, right? So yeah, it'll be interesting, but I think in general, education and just one, everyone learns differently, but I also think its impact on education, like you said, will be kind of how schools respond to it in general.
Right. You said some about critical thinking. Like if your children take something away from school, I mean, obviously you want them to take general ed education away, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ability to add, subtract, divide, multiply, all that fun stuff. General grammar skills. But is critical thinking, is that the main thing that you wish, that you hope? I mean, that and maybe some social skills? Like, what's the main takeaway from
school?
Yeah. Because it seems like more, and obviously we live in Los Angeles, you know, there's a lot of language like this, but school feels like it's becoming more and more of a liability. I'm going to send my kids out, and the way that, teachers are becoming more and more vocal with their biases in classrooms, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just because we're in the social media age, and so we see that more.
Right.
But it feels like school is becoming more of a liability, and at home it's more of like repairing sometimes what's being said at school.
Yeah.
It seems like it's going that direction. My kids are 6 years old, so, you know, tons of sample size for me. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're right in a few things as far as like saying about how everything's kind of been viewed now on like through social media. And so like people are kind of like using, like, I don't know if teachers are even catching on now and, you know, kind of seeing that as a platform and, you know, showing that and kind of like making their case.
But there's teachers twerking in their classroom on TikTok.
Yeah. And
that's the dudes.
Yeah. I don't know about all that, but what I do know is that there's definitely there's for sure stuff that you can, like, we were just talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
Like school has, it's changed so much even when we're around. Right.
Right.
Like I wish that like back when I was in school, like I would have learned more trade skills, like just all
budgeting,
that stuff,
life skills
that would, you know, you could actually carry a lot of the stuff that I feel like I've learned throughout school isn't really used now. Sure, some of it has translated, but has everything translated? No. And so for our kids that has access to all this information, these, you know, even talking about that ChatGPT thing or whatever it was that you guys are talking about, right? Well, I don't, dude, in 5 to 10 years, think about how much that's, like, where will we
come
be?
On, right. Yep.
Like, do we really think that, I don't want to ever make, like, these wild statements, and because I just feel like the world is changing so rapidly. Information is literally right knocking at our door, and we can get it anywhere. Dude, it's hard to say, but I will say this. Whatever that, if we think that the educational system that we've been taught will work with what's coming up right now in these kids, I think we're silly for thinking that.
Yeah, I think it all kind of threads together, right? Like, a one-size-fits-all approach to anything rarely ever is the solution.
Right, right, right.
Layering on top of that, I think development and the goals of school are, or goals of education are multidimensional, meaning there's not just, you know, the information side of it. We don't want kids to just regurgitate information or just give the right answer. There's layers to it. There's the problem solving, the critical thinking. There's the social, emotional, wellness,
the commitment to something over time,
right? Yeah. And finishing what you start and working through even social problems or social difficulties. But I do think it makes, I wouldn't say it's made my job as a parent harder, or I don't necessarily view it as though I'm repairing. I think it's challenged me in a positive sense of reaffirming and really reexamining myself of what do I believe and why, and how do I want to live my life and why. I think it's definitely living in like the greater Los Angeles area. Like, I'm very aware that people are different. I'm not going to believe what I believe, not going to live the way I live, not going to talk the way I talk, all those, you know, different things. And I think it's really, from a young age, I've had to engage topics I don't think I would have had to engage with the boys if we lived in a more, maybe, I don't know what the word is, controlled environment, or a more...
less diverse environment.
Yeah, I was just going to say, an environment where everyone is kind of the same.
Looks like you, sounds like you.
Yeah. So I think it kind of really... I think it's really the way we choose to look at it, but it's definitely one of those things where it's, you know, we're having conversations about things, and they're not always the most comfortable, but there's definitely conversations in the home that what they're hearing at school, learning at school, all the different things. But I think in the long run, you fast forward, if we as parents engage our kids, I think they're going to greatly benefit from growing up in this diverse community, because I think it makes them really good or better global citizens than if they were living in a more kind of subdued or kind of a similar environment. But yeah, I mean, it's a melting pot in so many different ways, and teaching your kids how to navigate that and how to be confident in what they believe and why, and not shy about what they believe and why, but also be loving and caring and accepting, is challenging. By no means, like, is it,
yeah, I guess in a formula, in any environment. Yeah.
I think the key is having an open door in terms of conversation with your kids, and that there's no bad or scary or off limits questions.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, you know, the three of us didn't have fathers who were willing to have confrontation with us in a healthy way.
Right.
So, I mean, some of us, we got confrontation in an unhealthy way. But I think, Zach, I think, you know, and I would love to get your advice about this. Like, right now, River, you know, we got an email a few weeks ago. River's in class, and he, you know, they're rhyming. And so he starts rhyming words. Tuck, buck, fuck. Kids start laughing. So he just... You know, he just starts going. He's just
ripping it.
You know, we get the email. Hey, this happened. Okay. Talk it through with him. Hey, you know, this word, and you know, and then yesterday he brings home this paper, and it's like, was I a distraction in class? Yes, and he circles yes. Did I yell or blurt something out when I wasn't? You know, is an inappropriate time? Yes. Did I have something interesting to share? You know, and he does this whole thing, and I'm finding, like, more and more, you know, River is in discovering these social boundaries, and all this stuff. But it feels like I'm having to have these, you know, confrontations. And that's the wrong word. I'm having to have these life coaching moments with River, trying to teach him what's appropriate and what's not, and have these nuanced conversations about, you know, hey, I want you to stand out, but not stand out like that. And, you know, it's like,
right.
You know, Zach, like, I love that you're willing to have these conversations, especially maybe it wasn't modeled for you, especially at the age that you're modeling it for them. You know, is there nerves every time you do it? Do you go in with a certain perspective? Like, is it different every time? Is that like a preconceived decision you made? Hey, no matter what, we're going to have this conversation, even though it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think I...
Did you grow in that? You know, it's like,
yeah,
did you mess up in the beginning?
Yeah, I'm sure I messed up. I also think I try to keep it on the forefront of my mind that I want to intentionally be that way always, whether it's now or when they're 16. I think clear lines of communication and trust and all that good stuff is really important to me. And I think also, I mean, you said it well, like you were their coach in this season.
Mm.
And that I think is almost kind of how you have to approach it. There was some Instagram quote that I read, basically you're talking about like sports coaches, and it was being critical because it was saying that coaches who think their role to always correct isn't the best approach, and that actually affirmation and the confidence that affirmation produces develops better athletes. Mm. I think that's a lot of what those conversations are, is you're affirming who they are, but you're also trying to help guide their decision-making or that expression of who they are. I remember we had a conversation with Teddy a while ago, but we were basically affirming like, Teddy, the little boy you are is amazing. There's nothing wrong with the little boy you are. You just have to learn like your environment. You have to be able to read your environment. There's nothing wrong with who you are. We love your energy. We love your compassion. You love big. But what does that look like in a classroom versus at home with your brother or on your sports team or at the park? But I think you hit it on the head, honestly, is that we're in the coach phase. Remember, we were taught this a long time ago, but there's like evolutions of a parent, this one guy said, and you kind of go from coach to fan. You're kind of always there to guiding them. But
dude,
at
some point
in their life, I'm on the sideline.
Yep.
Just because of time, proximity, age, whatever the circumstance is. But there will be a transition in my kid's life where I'm more in the stands watching and cheering them on. I'm there for them no matter what.
Wow.
But that interaction is, you know, I joke that I'm going to lose my mind when they go to college. Like I have them both convinced that I'm going to get an apartment and we're going to live together while they're in college.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, you got to make it out. Of college before I let you go. Like, you're not gonna.
Yeah,
it's so good that you're saying this, because I think that a lot of parents, you know, in probably dads, you know, we're on this topic of fathers and stuff. I can see where it gets confusing and probably gets hard for a parent when they can't identify the season or the phase that they're in. Whether, you know, because I'm pretty sure there's moments where we feel like, you know, we're in the stands and yet we need to be on the sidelines and vice versa and whatever.
Yeah,
and so when you can't identify those seasons, I think it's very frustrating, and you could probably lose your cool with, you know, with your kids when they actually need you to be something else.
That and so good. Yeah.
You know, like right now, dude, LJ is in a weird phase where he just loves us clapping at whatever he does. And he looks to us to do it. And I know he's obviously so little right now compared to, you know, your boys, but we like, as of recent, we, you know, he takes his own diaper and he takes it to the trash and he throws it away, and then he comes back and he's like looking for the clap.
God, come on, give me, yeah.
And we clap and he just lights up.
Yeah.
You know, but it makes, you know, obviously when they get older, he's probably gonna need me to be different. And he's gonna be, you know, whatever that may be. And so that was such a great point, you know, understanding what your kids need you to be in that specific season, in that role. And if we don't get it right, It could be a very long one for us.
And I have confidence that even if we don't get it right, things will work out.
Right.
It might delay, you know, some development, but like the three of us are examples of, look, we're definitely not perfect. We fail a lot. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
But we made it out of in our context, you know.
Yeah.
Very little fatherly, you know, intentionality. We didn't have dads who try. I love that idea, coach to fan. It's like right now I'm overflowing with value I can give to my kids as far as experience, as far as, you know, how I see life, perspective. One day I'm going to be like, I'm going to hope I can give a little bit of value. They're going to surpass me in that right. sense, you know?
Yeah. Right. Cause our, yes. Cause yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's great.
You know, and we're going to be the old men. Okay. Well, when, you know, and we're going to be able to, we'll still have wisdom and life experience, but there's going to be a certain point where we're going to be fans and we're going to be like, dude, you're running plays that we didn't teach you. We didn't know you even thought of. You took what we gave you and you innovated, created in so far blew our expectations. And, you know, I can't wait. There's already little things that River and Grayson do. I'm like, where'd you learn that? And they're like, we just thought of it. You know, like rhyming buck, tuck. I can't wait. I can't wait for those moments, you know?
Yeah. You know, it makes me sad, you know, to like, I'm a emotional person in general as it is, but it
makes bro, your
me,
kids.
But I'm saying in general though, like when you guys talk about like the, I always, as of, because of the algorithm that we're on, obviously, and you know, I was producing all the, you know, the dad stuff. I get all these clips always pops up about dads. Like talking and they're getting emotional about how they just mistimed, you know, like they're with their kids and, you know, their upbringing and they wish they would have sacrificed. And, you know, I don't know. And I just don't want to ever miss moments, you know, with our boys, you know, it's just so good right now.
And I think the more kids you have, the probably the less special certain moments are.
Yeah.
You know, when your fourth kid walks for the first time, you're like, okay.
Cool, man.
Yeah, you know.
Welcome to.
But I think there's moments, you know.
I only have two. Can we keep it special?
Yeah, all three of us have, each of us have two boys.
Yeah.
We're done. Steph and I are done. You guys are done.
Yeah.
It's funny you're talking about this right now.
You guys in a heated debate or have an announcement you can share? Or?
No, it's not an announcement. But I do think that's...
goalie pulled?
Stop. Dude, come on, man. Yeah. No, but the sweet spot for us would probably be like three.
I don't want to know your sweet spot, bro.
Three kids.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Sick.
Nice.
Yep.
We'll see how special it gets. Nate.
Like that sound. Oh, my gosh. I'm excited because... something unexpected about fatherhood is it's forced me to, of course you're going to grow when you add responsibility in your life, it'll force you to grow or shrink. But I didn't realize how drastically having children, like caused me to become introspective and reflective of my life and my own, you know, my own childhood and all that stuff. And it just makes me wonder, like, the culture we live in, right? This soon-to-be post-millennial culture, right, where our kids, there's more Gen Z and Gen Alpha than there will be millennials coming up. Mm. Zach, you're a millennial?
I believe so.
What's Alpha? On the edge? Our kids.
Oh. Gen There's Alpha. A guy on Instagram goes by Alpha Wolf, and his videos are crazy.
Yikes!
I'll try to find one.
What's his handle?
I don't know. It's like, I am the Alpha Wolf. It's like one of those. I can't say what kind of tank top because you know it's not kind thing, but it's like one of those kind of tank tops. Yep. Super hairy chest, has like those cul-de-sac, but like grown out.
Yeah, okay.
It's sick.
I already know what you're talking about.
Bare skinned. I am the Alpha Wolf. Then he like says some like Power Ranger line and then Wolfpack assemble. Stuff like that.
Nice. Was he the one that just got exposed?
No.
Definitely not. I don't
know. Who is that guy that just remember he was like, oh, I just only take
Liver King, bro.
Liver King.
No,
Liver
King. Different.
Hold on. Let's go in this direction, okay? Zach, you are the most fit dad I know.
Then you don't know very many dads.
No, the dads I know, look, it's true, okay? Zach, your fitness journey has been incredible ever since I've known you. Actually, when I first met you, you were starting
training for a marathon, probably, huh?
No, you were just, I think when I first met you, you were still pretty big.
Yeah.
And then you all of a sudden, like a switch flipped in your life. I don't know what it was. I don't know what the catalyst was. But you went down this like health journey and you're still, I mean.
Yeah.
You're still in the middle of this thing. And look, this isn't weird or anything, but I just admire that. For someone to care about health and be committed to that for so long and make that a priority in a busy life, two kids, job transitions, life transitions, city transitions, and you're still going like, this is, I'm committed to this. Is that something like, is just a part of who you are now, or is it still like an intentional, you know, thing you're pursuing?
It's intentional. It definitely has waves, right? I just ate a box of Sour Patch Kids just now, so definitely.
consider myself a health and wellness. That was the most quiet stealth eating of Sour Patches.
Yeah. Dude, I don't feel like I could ever get away with stuff like that. I'm so loud.
I really like Sour Patch Kids. I love it. I am, side note, I told my kids I'd pay them each $100 if they refrained from eating candy all 2023.
No.
They did this in 2019, and I had to pay them $100 each.
What? And
everyone's like, oh my gosh, money. But also, here's the thing. I'm going to pay that in cavities and fillings and or give them $100
or candy. Or in candy.
Or in candy. Yeah. So anyway, side note. No, I think, back to task at hand, I think for me, yeah, I try to make it intentional. Again, there's layers and levels to it. I feel better, I'm happier, my emotions, my mental health. I think I'm a better partner when I'm have been able to sweat and exercise, stress release. And also, it's important to me to model for my kids the value of health and time management. You know, I think it's part of the equation of just, you know, it's really bringing my best self to the table.
Do you consider yourself as physically a healthy person?
No, I feel like pretty average. Pretty average for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see the dads you hang around with. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just average.
If you're considering yourself average, dude, I'm pretty poor in the health world.
Seasons.
I'm rich in pounds.
Yeah. It's great.
No, I say that because it feels like, you know, when I think of you, I think of like a healthy father.
Yeah.
You know, and that sounds crazy, but we bring up this book all the time because it's really changed my life, but Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, if you want to change your life, you have to change your thinking from being someone who's going after a goal and changing that to becoming the identity of who you are. So instead of going like, I'm going to lose 40 pounds, you change that to go, I'm a healthy person.
Right.
So that's why I'm like, are you living goal to goal? Or do you see yourself as like, I'm not going to do that because I'm a healthy person. You know, it's like, I'm a person who works out. Like, of course I'm going to go do that. You know, it's like,
right.
Cause I find for myself, and this has just been my life story, you know, to be a little vulnerable. My weight is, you know, a factor of health, right? I think I have a healthy confidence in my life. You know, I'm healthy in a lot of areas. My weight has fluctuated up and down like a yo-yo. Since I got married, you know, common denominator, my wife's cooking, but
you blamed your wife. It's fine.
No, that's a compliment. Her cooking is amazing.
Okay. Every area of my life is awesome. But the one bad part is my weight and my wife's cooking. Anybody else catch this or?
Look, okay.
You'll
find whatever you're looking for. Okay. You'll find whatever you're looking for. Okay. Let me rephrase that.
I'm going to look for photos of Nate while you keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you at some point figured out how to continue to stay consistent. And I feel like I've found that in other areas of my life. This is like something that, you know, and I think every dad probably has those areas and has those things that they feel like they just can't quite get over. I'm pretty confident this is my year. It's January. So, you know, we're going to make it happen. But not because of January. You know, I kind of started this even in December. But I'm just going like, how in that that's my thing, you know. For you guys, like, what is that thing that you've been, you know, we don't have to go deep and start to get struggles. But it's like, what's something that seems like stubborn to try to get over or overcome?
Yeah. On the topic of what you're kind of saying right now, you know, I told myself this past year, You were looking at for pictures of Nate.
I have a photo of Nate and a cat. I'm looking for specifically.
A cat?
Yeah, it's you and a cat.
Oh my God.
I'm listening.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, we send them back and forth, you know? Remember that?
We So I've been trying to get better at my patience level as of late, you know. I feel like I don't know if it's just because of life just happening all at the same time, and but my patience was kind of like, I could tell I needed some work on it.
Yeah.
I wanted to just kind of get through stuff. I just wanted to, you know, whatever. And so it kind of translated even to me being a dad. And so, like, my son, I'm like, I don't want to lose my cool with him, you know, because he's, like, watching. Yeah. I feel like he's, right. like, looking at me, like, you know, like, Dad, like, are you
good?
Yeah. So this past year, I was like, all right, you know what? There's a new... Zach, I can't. You guys, he's showing me these photos. I can't even think right now. I'm just so intrigued by these photos.
Keep going.
But so the other day, I take Levi to this like trampoline place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they have like
Sky
you know,
Zone.
It's like a Sky Zone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, arcade and different
Ringworm.
Things.
Ringworm.
And for the probably, but for the first hour, he would not like go and just do his thing. There's a lot of fear in his eyes, you can just tell. And he just was like latched. And I'm like, bro, you gotta go. And so like 15 minutes in, I'm like, dude, we're jamming. I'm not doing this all day.
Yep.
And then a part of me is like, dude, I thought you said stick you wanted to just tough it out. Even if he got on it for a hot second, and I didn't know if he was gonna or not. So I'm there with my sister and her kids, and I'm seeing her kids kind of do the thing, and I'm just like, man, LJ, like, I wish you'd be out there. He's not.
Did you say that to him?
I did not say that to him.
Oh, good, good, good.
But
I would have said it.
After an hour and 15 minutes, something switched.
Hour and 15.
Hour and 15 minutes. This kid, like, I started shooting on the little basketball hoop that they have there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jumping on it, dunking on it, you know.
He saw you.
He saw me. And not that he didn't see me during the hour and 15 minutes trying to get him on.
Yeah, yeah.
But he actually got on and started running around.
Let's
and guess
go.
What? He's a little free man just running around and doing his thing. But all that to say is that I felt like, you know, in that moment, it really made me, all right, I was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
No matter what it looks like, whether it takes an hour, you know, if it takes 2 hours, then I'm probably out. But all that to say is that I'm trying to work at stuff too.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, that was like a good reminder for me. Like, hey, are you more committed to, you know, just, are you trying to get through this or are you actually trying to learn something?
That's great. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I felt like I walked away with the dub that day.
That's dope.
Yeah.
When you're at the end of your patience, is it anger or is it annoyance? Like, does your temper go?
Yeah. Or? I think it's just more of a frustration.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because you want them to, like, I'm like, just while we're talking about that, I'm just like, I know he would have fun.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why don't you just go and have fun?
Yeah.
You know, I want him to experience, I want him to do all that, but it's just, it takes time.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Totally.
Did you ever find that picture of Nate?
No, I can't find it.
Nice.
But it's a...
I'm going to find it.
I like photoshopped a cat next to his head. It's like a black and white photo. Nate had like Panic at the Disco hair in that phase.
100%.
And he had like tight, like skinny jeans, but like with like a textured vest, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rolled up dress shirt underneath, like the sleeves rolled up.
Yeah.
With, like to, he's in a ska band.
Let's talk about some fashion back in the day.
I would like not to.
Why?
I was big.
Not so, always, though.
Like, yeah, I was very, very skinny in high school, and then I went to college. And
yeah. So did you...
in that video?
Freshman 15? Yeah. College, first year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Bratwurst, beer, you know.
All of it.
Bro, it was huge.
You took advantage.
And still to this day, like, none of my friends told me I was fat. I was so pissed. Because no one said, oh, you're fat. Just let me get fat. It's haters, bro. You people in life are like, nah, bro, you're fat. You are fat, bro. Like, it's pretty easy to lose weight. Stop eating.
Like, think about this, right? What is it? Obesity, cardiac arrest. It is like the number one killer of Americans today. And the number one thing people are paralyzed to save people from
food?
Or confront. Yeah, food. Exercise. It's like, look, if someone's going to get addicted to meth, There's going to be an intervention.
Right, right, which right.
Zach thought it was going to happen when we called him to this hotel today.
You just gave it away. This is in a hotel room.
Yeah. Because our studio flooded, okay?
Oh, did it really in the rain?
Yeah. It is bad. It's bad.
Renter's insurance? No.
No. Oh, yeah, we do, but the deductible, it wouldn't make sense. So, yep. It's fine. It'll get back just
because. Yeah, write a review. We need the algorithm to really.
Yeah, we need
some
we
sales.
We need you.
Manscaped. What else?
Head over to our GoFundMe.
Yeah.
God. If you put out a GoFundMe, I'd laugh. No offense. I don't know why. I just think it'd be great.
Yeah, we would laugh too. I don't even remember what we're talking about. Man.
Did your house flood?
No, it was.
Did your house flood too?
Oh, no. No.
Just the garage.
Yeah. Oh, we have some crazy rain stories, actually. I got to tell you guys in a second.
Is Natalie safe?
That's part of it. Okay, that's part of it.
She got caught in the LA River.
You'll see. You'll hear.
Dang.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. But I was, look, if someone's addicted to something that's clearly a problem, there's going to be someone hopefully cares about them enough to bring it up.
Unless they can make money off that problem, then... Mm.
Yeah, or unless
or benefiting or profiting from that problem.
If they're more afraid of discomfort care about the person, they won't be confrontation.
I'm opening these.
Yeah. Open them. And can I have a couple?
You've earned these. Okay, here's a story.
I did go to the YMCA today, guys.
Let's go.
Okay, LA in these last 3 weeks.
I mean, Zach.
You said you wanted some.
Yeah.
Yeah, just put them on the table. Just... Whoa, what was that sound? That was kind of cool.
Here we are.
You know, gummy bears are made from horse hooves.
Yeah. So is glue.
Mm-hmm. They both taste good.
Yep. What?
Okay. So LA's gotten, almost 10 inches of rain in the last 3 weeks.
They collected 33 billion gallons of rainwater, LA County.
Jeez. So our neighbors, their water heater is outside.
Natalie.
For some reason. Yeah, it's outside. And whenever it rains hard, a lot of history here. Whenever it rains really hard, their water heater breaks. But before it does, it backs up, so the pressure starts to build. So the first time this happened, we just hear a low, our house, we can hear it. Then all of a sudden, our whole house starts shaking.
No.
We're freaking out. I'm like, Steph, get out of the house. Get out of the house. Steph runs out the house and we open
the. She gets hit by the exploding water.
Yeah, it's right outside of the back of their house is right where our front door
Steph
is.
Outside
right?
To check on it.
And so you open up our front door in that their water heater's there. And this thing's their whole house, bro. Their windows you can see are vibrating. Across the street, there's a mechanic. So I run over, I'm like, help!
It's a car mechanic, like something.
Yeah, he is. He's a drywall he's guy. Legitimately he's a mechanic. He's a mechanic. And I'm like, help us out, come over here. And he runs over and he's like, this thing's gonna blow up. He's like, this thing's about to explode.
I can picture this. But where's Natalie?
So he turns the thing off, They all left their house.
Like ran away because they're scared?
Yeah, totally.
No. And left you there to deal with it?
Yeah, it's fine. And so he turns it off. And later that day, they send a technician. And the guy's like, well, we got to turn it on to see what the problem is. And he turns it back on. And again, and he's like, I've never seen the professional. He's like panicking. And he's like, his eyes are wide. He's like, I've never seen anything like this. This is about 30 seconds away from... This thing, he said, going 100 feet in the air.
That's so sick.
And so they replaced it. That was months ago. They replaced it. And then it happened again this time.
Yeah. No.
And whenever they used hot water, this thing would start to... And so they're like...
What do we do?
My neighbor got back from the gym. He's like, I got to take a shower. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're going to blow your house up, bro. So he took a shower.
Did it go?
And then it didn't go, but it did the whole thing again. And then they turned all everything off, and then it just killed their hot water. They just didn't have hot water for a few days, and now they're like, we don't, they came out and replaced it again, the third one now, and they're like, They didn't, they're not changing any of the housing or anything. I'm like, this thing's literally, we're going to wake up in the middle of the night and this thing's going to crash through our freaking ceiling after shooting up hundreds of feet in the air. Some Donnie Darko stuff.
Your neighbors will be showering at your
house. Yeah, so you might as well leave the front door open.
Oh, Lord. Because
they're coming.
Nah, they'll never shower in my shower.
Why, what does your shower look like right now? Like, what's it like?
It's not bad.
Oh.
Yeah. There's, like, kids' toys and, you know, bath stuff, but.
But can we, let's just be real, though. Like, any time that any kind of, like, weather stuff that hits L.A. is just 10 times like worse than it really should be because of the infrastructure. Of,
yeah, the
like,
city's not prepared for any sort of.
Dude, I moved here in January of 2017. And I remember the first like 30 days, it was like raining on and off, kind of like this, but probably not as what it was this past time. But I remember it would like rain for like 30 minutes and then the streets would already start to kind of flood.
Yeah, I'm totally.
Like, you guys, what are. Coming from, you know, the Midwest, like where.
Yeah, we're from the Northwest, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys kind of understand that. Like, as soon as something happens.
Real experience with it. Yeah. I got a Marmot rain jacket.
Hey.
You saw Arc'teryx, but took it back to take advantage of REI's generous return policy.
Hey, have you been to the co-op?
Yeah.
The REI has a proper co-op now.
In Manhattan Beach. Yeah.
Dude, it's amazing.
It's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
Got something there. I forget. We went to Park City. Like, I don't really do snow, but, like. You know, one of the perks of not having a dad is you overcompensate with your kids.
For doing all the stuff you didn't get, yeah.
Yeah, Tay's like, I want to go to Park City. I was like, okay, I hate snow, but I'll take you because I didn't have a dad. So we went to Park City one time for my birthday. Yeah, that's where I want to be. And we had no snow clothes. So we went to this co-op and got snow clothes and then returned them all.
Smart.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Thank you, REI. I apologize.
Since we're sharing stories, I was back in Michigan a couple weeks ago and
that sucks.
Yeah. And this time of year, it actually does suck because it's really, 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 really cold. And the car that I was driving in wasn't really like made for the snow.
What kind of car was it?
It was a Volkswagen.
Tiguan.
Yes. And
white. What color was outside? Silver?
No, black.
Black. Ooh, sporty.
Yeah.
Pink interior.
No.
What's the interior? Gray?
No, black.
Ooh, wow.
Black car, nice. Black leather.
Nothing says Turo like that. You set up. Keep going.
So it's probably like 10:30.
At night.
Where
are you going? Michigan, 10:30 at night.
I'm coming back from the gym.
Okay.
Okay. And I turn. Fitness. No. Worse. Planet Fitness.
Ooh.
They have pizza and candy, though.
They do.
Bussing, as the kids say.
I take a right onto the street, and there's like a snowdrift, you know?
What is that? A snowdrift?
Like a little drift, exactly. It's the wind. The wind really blows.
Like a flurry. Like a flurry, kind of.
But No. It's like it's where the snow goes when the wind blows it on the side of the road.
Yes.
Like a sand dune kind of thing, but snow.
Yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
This thing is probably 3 feet tall. It feels like that.
Yeah.
I turn in, I really can't see. And you guys, I realize I'm only less than a quarter mile away from the house. But in that moment, I couldn't tell where I was because there was so much.
It was that snowy.
It was that snowy. And they called it the cyclone bomb because it was coming in from like the northwest.
Cyclone bomb.
That's what we got here. Basically, it's coming from, it went over us.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's Siberian.
So, you guys, I'm stuck. I turn in and I'm stuck and I'm probably there for about 50 minutes, hour.
50?
50 minutes or an
hour. You didn't drive? You just stopped your car?
No, I tried to drive. I couldn't get it out. I got stuck in the drift.
You're stuck in the snow.
Yes, I'm stuck in the snow.
Spin your tires.
Spinning my tires.
Turo.
Can't get out. Okay. Right? The only thing I have in my car is this little snow brush and I'm trying to like dig this thing, like the wheels out. And
you call anybody or?
I try to call my father-in-law. He tries to come down. He gets stuck. There's a truck now.
How old is he? What's his age stamp?
He's probably in the 60s, late 60s.
The DOA.
You almost killed your father-in-law for him having to come and rescue you?
No, he was actually, he's a really healthy 60-something-year-old.
Okay.
You know?
But it's still like a snowdrift. Could have died.
I don't know.
If Mother Nature is undefeated, but carry on.
Yeah, she is. But she did not win that night.
Okay.
Mm.
This truck comes down the street, and you know, it's an older truck. It's like a Tahoe.
Any stickers?
No stickers. Okay. You know what? I don't know. It was late and it was dark, but I know they had a truck and it was kind of older,
mm-hmm.
but this guy rolls on his window. He's like, "You guys need help." And I'm like, "Yeah, we kind of do. We're stuck." He's like, "I can chain you up." And I was like, "You think you can get us out?" And he's like, "I'd take you anywhere." Bro, I'm looking at this guy. And he looks drunk.
I could take you anywhere.
And I'm like, he said it so confidently. And in my heart, I'm like, man, this is it. This is the guy. He chains me up and he starts revving his engine and he starts going. And dude, his truck is like
fishtailing.
Is your father-in-law gone by this point?
No, he's in his car.
Okay.
Because we realize that we're both stuck.
Yeah.
And this guy now is thinking that he can save us. He can't. And and he swerves into the snowbank. He fishtails.
He's stuck.
Yeah, and he's stuck. Well, he's not really stuck. He just can't get out.
He can't get me out.
So, you guys, it now becomes a scene.
Yeah.
There's like cars passing us. No one stops for us, by the way.
Yeah. But you're a drunk guy.
So there's three guys. I would say maybe 10 minutes after that, this big F-350.
Mm.
Oh, let's go.
This big like workhorse truck, right? You know, you could just tell. This thing looks like Optimus Prime. You know, in Transformer.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing's coming by.
Yellow?
Nope.
Gray?
No, a black.
Ooh. Stickers?
Dang. No stickers. But he has one of those like toolboxes.
That is a black Air Force.
In a car. He has one of those big toolboxes.
Did it have the four tires in the back with the two on each side?
Yes, sir, they did.
Dang. That's a real man's truck.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man.
Was it Jim Harbaugh?
Was it who?
Jim Harbaugh.
No, it was not Jim Harbaugh.
That's Michigan coach, right?
Yeah.
Mm, he's in a little hot water right now.
Jalen Rose?
It was not Jalen Rose. It was a random guy that was just being so kind. And I asked him the same question, but I told him, I said, what happened with this truck? I said, hey, this guy was so certain that he was able to get me out. He cannot. And now he's stuck. Can you get me out? And he rolled down his window. You know, obviously he had his windows rolled down, and then he just steps on his gas. He said, "I know I can get you out." This guy chains me up.
Dude.
Yeah, exactly, bro. This guy chains me up, steps on his gas pedal one time, pulls me out.
Did he get all three of you guys?
All
out?
Three of us out, bro. An angel in disguise.
Dang.
I will forever remember that story.
Not all black F-350s are there to kill you.
No,
no.
I mean, it makes me. Honestly, I want a F-350 for that reason.
Jeez. You know? Jeremy, what does Jeremy have? It's an F-150.
I don't know, but it's nice.
Yeah.
It's sick. Big.
Sick. Jeremy Scott. All right, well.
Stop. We're not going to wrap it up yet. I know we talked a long time. I'm watching the clock. I rationed my words. But I just want to make a request for a future episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll say this in closing. I think Nate is arguably one of the best storytellers on Earth, at least in our great nation. And I would like an episode that would cover a few different stories that are a favorite of mine. So I'm just going to say them now. No. I'm not going to say the story.
The title.
Yes. I want the dressing room story.
Okay.
I want... the work shower story. What happened at the work shower?
Oh, no.
I want the...
At Nordstrom?
Mm-hmm. Don't give away too much. I want the motorcycle story.
Never heard of that one.
Motorcycle and a bicycle.
I know exactly.
And I forgot. Oh, and I want to hear the apartment gate story.
I can't tell that one on air.
You can tell around it. And then I want to hear the air mattress story.
Yes.
Those are... Whenever I'm like, oh, yeah, Nate's so great. I'm like, yeah, Nate's, these stories, they're just honestly some of the best content you'll hear. I guarantee it.
It is.
It's wild. Not in this episode. We're at 55 minutes. We need to wrap it up. But that's my request. I think that will be your most listened to episode.
The lost tapes.
Whoa, that's great. It's just, I'm telling you.
V-Files?
Insane stories. Insane.
When people are like, was LA hard for you in your first year? All of those stories were in the first 18 months of me moving here. How crazy.
And we're not even talking about, you know, we're not even touching how that one apartment got broken into like 7 times.
Yeah, we had the FBI at our house.
The Nate FBI somehow came to our house. Let his apartment get broken into.
Multiple times?
Multiple. Oh,
four times in 1 week.
It's like, bro, like lock the door.
Well, that's the problem. So, listen, no.
After the second time, I'm like, dude, come on, man.
Listen. I'm moving.
I'm convinced it was an apartment, the apartment, right? So, like, after the
is
first
an inside
time,
job?
After the first time, I go, we need to replace all the locks.
Yeah.
Like, there was signs that someone got in with a key.
Mm.
We need to replace all the locks. No, we're not going to replace the locks. Okay. Then I'm going to go get my own locks. If you do that, you're breaking your lease, and we'll charge you the full first and last month's rent right now. I'm like, well, that's more value than anything that could be stolen from my house, so we'll leave the locks.
There's nothing left.
Dude, think about this. They didn't take the Xbox. They didn't take any of our stuff.
The valuables.
Our roommate, Brett, they took his passport, his social security card, and they took his already used cash checks, and we caught him trying to cash his checks, got their pictures and everything.
Did they work at the apartment? Did you connect the dots?
So we ended up finding out that these people were in the apartments across from ours.
In the same complex, though.
In the same complex. It wasn't the tenants. It was the tenants. Their friends would come over while they're hanging out, and they'd watch. And when they saw us leave,
they would boom.
They would come in, and they would. So what they ended up doing is the first time cracking or lifting the sliding glass door. So they got it. Everything was locked. They lifted it up, got in, found our spare key in Brett's room.
Oh, my God.
And left. They didn't take anything. They just got that. Then the next time they came, so that they wouldn't, you know, the timing, as soon as we left, they came in, unlocked it, left, but left Xbox, left cameras.
See, like, that's why you need. So you need a special episode, the lost tapes.
Oh, but that's
the Nate files.
But then we found out it was happening, you know, throughout the apartment complex. There was like 6 apartments or something like that. So the FBI shows up, starts fingerprinting everything. Which is really messy. I didn't realize they gotta put this like special dust. So like all over our freaking house is like fingerprints, like black fingerprints, because they put the dust on it.
It's so crazy to actually think about that whole situation because
it was me.
What?
Joke's on you. That
he pulls out
time.
His social security card. It's Brett's.
Dude, but you gotta think like these guys aren't stealing like what. Okay, the Xbox, whatever. The TVs, whatever. Bro, they're going after a social security card. They're
trying to steal identities.
Identities.
Yeah, so Brett tried to get his social security card replaced. We found out that you can't replace your social security card unless you have proof that it was stolen. So they would have had to use it, get caught, and show that social security was frauded in order for him to get reissued a new one.
What about the police report?
Too many people lose their social security cards. Dropped a handful of gummy bears. Too many people lose their social security cards and claim they were stolen, and the government has to redo their entire social security.
Well, that sucks. He's fine. We're at an hour. You know.
The only episodes that have broken 1,000 are over an hour, including yours.
That's great.
And here we are.
This is a great episode. I feel like I really showed up, you know. Hope everyone enjoys a listen. Please leave a review. Real recognize real.
Who's winning the NBA championship this year?
I don't care about who's winning the NBA championship. I'm going to leave you with something that Lauren London recited at Nipsey Hussle's funeral, and it's something that we should recite to ourselves every morning when we get up and look in the mirror. It's not on you, it's in you, and what's in you they can't take from you.
Hey, that's his dad who tried, dog. That's his dad who tried. Team no sleep, baby. Dad's who tried.